From the pages of Our Lives magazine, this is Being Authentic with Patrick Fairbaugh on the Mike 92.1 and the Mike921.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another week of Being Authentic. My name is Patrick Fairbaugh. I'm your host. I'm also the publisher of Our Lives magazine. That's Madison's LGBT magazine. You can find it online at ourlivesmadison.com and facebook.com/ourlivesmagazine. Aaron, my good buddy Aaron Rodgers from Z104 is with us as usual. How was your week?
Be glad you don't have to wear glasses. Can I start off the show by saying that?
Yeah?
I've been wiping these things down. I was at the Packer game Thursday night and it was pouring out. And like every 2 seconds, in order for me to see the field because of all the fog and haze, I'm going to wipe these glasses down.
I was going to say, when you first said that, I'm like, I know it's because you weren't crying, because the Packers did pretty well.
No, they really did well. They blew them out of the water, and it was always a lot of fun. So what have you been up to this week?
Oh, man, the next issue is getting ready to go in production, and the next one's an exciting one. It's the Youth and Families one, so there's a lot that goes into that. Rhonda Lanford, or Judge Lanford, is on the cover, and her and Judy Davidoff are both inside. Judy actually just got a major promotion. She's
great.
Now the editor-in-chief of the Isthmus. So
very cool.
That's a pretty major promotion.
Absolutely.
We got a story on surrogacy, which is kind of interesting going in, and the different ways that couples kind of find their way through surrogacy. We've got actually a pretty interesting piece in it about the Salvation Army. So, because the Salvation Army of Dane County is really different from the National Salvation Army. In fact, when I met with them back earlier in the year to talk to them about how the LGBT stuff was impacting them locally, they were saying that the challenge that they have is that really they've broken away from the National Salvation Army. They're the Salvation Army in name, but a lot of their policies are unique to
our area, right?
To our area. And the only other Salvation Army that's done that has been San Francisco. So it's kind of cool to see that they actually do a lot of proactive support and provide resources to the LGBT community here. But they were getting impacted financially. The Red Kettle or Red Bucket campaign that they did last year, they saw a serious hit. And when they were kind of exploring that, a lot of the feedback that they got was from people talking about the national image around LGBT issues. So Madison is a very social justice active community, and it's amazing what an impact something like that can have. So all that stuff's in there. There's a lot of other cool stuff in there. It's all in production right now, so the next week or two are going to be kind of crazy. But
yeah, overall, as always, I'm sure.
Yeah, overall, life's good. I life's probably better than it's been in life.
That's good. It's good. There's
a
lot to be thankful for, I think, especially as we get into this time of the year and spending time with friends and family. And now that the weather is going to start turning for the worse here, it's good.
Depending on your point of view, it's hockey season for the better.
It's hockey season as well. That is true too.
We got a really packed show today. We got a lot of guests on. We've got Jerry Foley on. He is an author out of McFarland that's publishing his first novel. It's kind of a fiction fantasy novel, and one of the first that I've ever heard of that has a gay lead character in it. The hero of the novel is an out character. We have Dina Martinez on. She's going to be talking about Alphabet Soup, which is a monthly LGBTQ comedy night that she's hosting and organizing at Plan B. And we also have Gabe Javier on. Gabe is the director of the LGBT Campus Center over at UW-Madison. And October is National LGBT History Month. And October 11th is National Coming Out Day, which now actually for you has a little more significance than it probably did a few years ago.
Yeah, it's just really good to sit back and kind of see, I don't know, it's always a special day for me. Obviously, a couple of years ago was me coming out on Z104, but it has a little place in my heart now.
Yeah, now, poking back to that, though, what made you decide to do it? Like, I know that at the time there was, we were just past kind of the youth suicides and needing maybe some more voices out there for people to know, but in general, what made it the right time, or what made it... Was it just because it was National Coming Out Day?
I mean, there was the day that was involved, and so a lot of people that listen to this show or who read your magazine or who listen to me on the air, within the gay community, I've been out a long time. I've been out to my friends and family a long time. That wasn't the point. The point was I wanted to be able to fully live and be fully... I wanted to basically fully be authentic. Encompassed in all areas, authentic in all areas of my life. And the one area that I was not living as authentic as I wanted to was in my on-air life. And truly, it's interesting because a lot of people really, and you probably know this as well as I do, and you know me really well, but a lot of people don't know the person a lot of times just behind the microphone. And that's the things I like to do, the things that I enjoy in my downtime and my free time, the organizations that I might be involved in. And it's really different when you just hear somebody on the air and they entertain or they provide whatever for you on your ride home. But then to actually take that personal life, put it on an on-air platform, and kind of give you the full picture of just being me. I just wanted to do it, and I hoped that at the time there was somebody who maybe be listening who would be able to benefit from that. And
yeah, I was caught by surprise at how much media attention it got, to be honest. Like, there are some times where, you know, in Madison, you really kind of, living inside the bubble, you get comfortable thinking that it's just a small little community mm-hmm. that you're a part of. And then you get these little media reminders that, you know, sometimes actions really are a lot bigger than what your perception is locally.
Well, and the whole thing spoke multitudes as to how powerful that message is and how powerful that day is. The outlets and the people, more so, Patrick, the emails that came in from little mom-pa shops out in Nebraska, or a person in our company who may have found out the word in New York City, and all these random people. I actually, still to this day, have had a couple of people who have looked in the archives of those media stories that were published about my coming out, and I'm sure there's many, many other stories similar to this, and who have reached out to me, and I've actually kind of befriended a few people from around the country and shared some great friendships, and, you know, and I never would have imagined that the power of all of that could possibly have taken me in this direction 2 years later. So it's a good thing.
The other thing that I find really kind of cool and exciting is radio is known for being a market where to have any kind of advancement, you end up generally having to move around a lot, like mm-hmm. move from market to market. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that you doing that actually probably helped you build relationships that have kept you here.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, I know a lot of people in this industry who want to be in the next biggest signal, and they want to be in the next biggest market, and they're more focused on the career development. And I don't necessarily put that aside and put it for what it is, but for me, kind of coming out on the air and just living my life authentically in all different aspects has just allowed me to appreciate being in a community that's not only post-gay and very LGBT-friendly, but so I can kind of just really live, and my quality of life now outweighs my desire and motivation to be in the next biggest city just for the sake of being in the next biggest city, because I see a little bit more in the broader spectrum of life.
Yeah, that's one of the things, like whenever I've talked to and gone in and consulted corporations or workplaces, if a person's not able to fully be themselves in all aspects of their life, and especially while they're at work, that's going to impact the depth and the strength of the relationships they're able to build in those pieces of their life. If an employee is not able to have a fully authentic life where they feel welcome and included for who they are, like the reality is they always have one foot out the door, or they're always going to be a flight risk.
And I'll be realistic in saying there are some big decisions that I have to make personally, being newly single, transitioning into focusing more on me. There are some big career decisions that I do have that you and I are aware about off the mic that will really play a part into my decision-making as we get into the next year. And so all of those things that we're talking about right now are actually really going to play in and put a lot of buy-in as to where I go next and what I do or whatever it is, radio or not radio or somewhere else or Z104 or whatever. Not saying I'm leaving necessarily. Yeah. It's just there are some cool opportunities on the horizon, so I need to take that into consideration.
That's awesome. And on the very short-term horizon, we have Jerry Foley coming up in our next segment. You drop a bomb like that, now I can't go into it. We have Jerry Foley coming up on our next segment to talk about the book that he's writing and that is being published, I believe, on Halloween. So it's a sci-fi horror fantasy genre type novel. Shows how much I know about it. I'm looking forward to learning more from him about it. And then following him again, we have Dina Martinez, the out transgender comedian who is put together Alphabet Soup, which is a comedy show with representation from all of the different stripes of the LGBT rainbow. But coming up next will be Jerry Foley. So stick around, everybody.
From the pages of Our Lives magazine, this is Being Authentic on the Mic 92.1 and the Mic 92.1.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Being Authentic. I'm your host, Patrick Faribault. I'm also the publisher of Our Lives magazine. That's Madison's LGBT magazine. You can find it online at ourlivesmadison.com and just for good measure on Facebook, too, at facebook.com/ourlivesmagazine. And happy to have in the studio with us. We don't often get people in the studio, we being me. Dina Martina is a good friend and a comedian who's trying to get a show up and going at Plan B over on Willie Street.
Yeah.
Dina, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be in the studio with you.
Yeah, people don't know how lonely it gets.
I do.
Recording the show in here by myself when everybody's on the phone. So it's nice to have a face right across from.
Thank you. I'm glad I could keep you from crying in the corner for at least a couple of minutes.
Hey, well, in that case.
Sorry, did I share too much about you right then?
It's all good. So you've got a comedy show that you're working on and trying to pull together. And it's more than just you, but you're
right.
Kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, kind of like the organizer of this.
Yeah, I'm the producer of the show and the face behind it or in front of it, hopefully. It's called Alphabet Soup, and it's once a month at Plan B, and it's the full spectrum LGBTQ stand-up comedy show. And I was thinking about like the comedy scene here in Madison. It's super, super heteronormative. And so to have an LGBTQ show that brings in world-class comics to perform and be funny is, I mean, I'm just so in love with it. And it's our fourth month this month.
Huh?
And yeah.
So who are some of the people that have been a part of it so far?
Well, Candy Lawrence from Chicago came out. I have a lot of Chicago comics just because I have a little bit of a connection there.
Sure.
And I don't know that many LGBTQ comics here.
Yeah, you know, truthfully, I don't either.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of spoken word people.
Yes, exactly.
You know, a lot of people, academic people. But I don't know if comedy has been a forte that I've seen very visible here. So I was thrilled when you reached out to say you were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody coming from Chicago? Is there people from Milwaukee? Is there people from McFarland?
To my knowledge, there has been nobody from McFarland on the show, but, I have local comics too that represent us here. And it's across the board. So I have, you know, cisgender, heterosexual people come up and do comedy as long as they're respectful to the community and everything. And I love having that cross-pollination, I guess, if you will. But the majority of people right now are from Chicago. If anybody out there from anywhere wants to contact me, then I will look at your stuff and I would love to bring people in.
Yeah, the business development person in me is starting to pop out and show. But they're not to steal any business from the comedy club or things like that. But this is something that I think could grow into a regular night at Plan B pretty easily. I know just in October, both Margaret Cho Margaret Cho is coming in October, and I know Wanda Sykes is coming in November.
Mm-hmm.
So the people are out there.
Yeah.
I don't know why Plan B couldn't be the one bringing them here.
So. Well, then that's what we're hoping to do. Unfortunately, Margaret's performing at on one of the same nights.
Oh, no.
So, like, the 17th of October is our next show.
Oh, I got tickets on the 16th. Now I'm happy.
See,
about it.
Good, See? Good. I'm jealous. It sold out before I got a chance to go.
Oh.
But I've seen her, like, so many times, and I love her. She's such an incredible, supportive artist and performer. So,
now, what's your background in comedy? How does somebody become a comic?
A lot of emotional issues. I've always kind of been funny, and I went through all forms of entertainment. I was a I was a singer for a while. I'm an actor too, and I moved to LA, and I lived in LA for a good while. And some point, when I started transitioning and everything, I realized that I'm not a showgirl. I don't lip sync well. Like, I'm that girl who's pretty, but your lips are all over the place and everybody's like, you're stupid. You're horrible. But but they're just like, you're gorgeous, but you can't lip sync. But when I was emceeing shows and, you know, I loved doing the emceeing part, but I just felt like something for me wasn't as authentic being a showgirl. So I finally, when I transitioned, everything started making more sense. And then I was like, I'm just going to put on a muumuu and be funny, you know, like.
And how, like in LA, how did that go over?
Really, really well. I had an incredibly supportive supportive words, supportive group of comics around me. And sure. I have had great response, and I perform to a lot of heteronormative audiences, and I feel like they get me.
Sure.
In ways that a gay room or an LGBTQ audience don't get me.
Yeah, actually, that was something I was going to try, and that was a great segue to this. I was going to ask, like, if comedy from each of the letters in the alphabet soup crosses over, like, do other letters get it? Like, I've sat in a room through, not Wanda Sykes, Karen Williams. That was who I was thinking of. And the gay men are standing like, oh, I'm supposed to be laughing right now.
Yeah.
Where the women are practically on the floor laughing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I imagine it's the reverse, where I've been there where it was a cisgender gay male comic. Mm-hmm. And the women are like, why did this person get booked?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do those things.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the right comic knows how to appeal to their audience. I feel like that's kind of an important thing, but there's also this thing where, like, I tell my story. This is my story. If you don't like it, you don't like it. I mean, Corpus Christi did not warm up well to me. Luckily,
I wonder why.
I know, right? Like, yeah. So it's just one of those things where, you know, every audience you take a chance. And I feel like that's even with theater or anything. Sure. Every audience you take a chance. And if you don't get me, then you don't get me. But I feel like for the most part, a cisgender heteronormative audience get me because, first of all, they don't get to see many trans people depicted positively and not in a way that's different from being a showgirl or a prostitute on television. So I get to be that Midwest fat girl with, you know, that just happens to be
somebody's got
to
do it.
I know, right? And so that, I love that. That makes me feel great. And guys normally get it really well, and women identify with the body issue stuff that I bring up. So I feel like I reach those audiences pretty well. I love, you know, the LGBTQ community have been so supportive, and I got a chance to perform at LA Pride last year, which was incredible, and everybody was really, really... I've had very few bad experiences, except for Corpus Christi.
I can tell you, I've had friends... this is going back... So you had a going away party, and then coming back but in the going away party, I remember a friend just happened to be there that night and saw a show, and at the end of the show, not knowing you, texted me asking if I knew who the person was, the comedian was that was making some trans humor, because that was the one that he thought was the funniest.
Aww.
So you know, so I'm like, oh well, I'm gonna guess that it was the person hosting that night. So, you know, in that case, it did cross over, and I'm happy to see that happening. I guess I'm wondering what else kind of, do you have going on in the Madison area? Because this is not somewhere that I think you probably ever expected to land and end up in.
Completely not. But I do a lot of eating, a lot of beer drinking. And then my
You're
best
meant
friend
to be in Wisconsin.
I know, totally.
Those two things alone.
My best friend Greg Potter is from here, and he and I have a podcast that we've been doing for 5 years, and we're about to do our 100th episode.
Congratulations. That's incredible.
So excited.
Yeah. Now, how did that start?
You know, we were sitting, this is how it started. We were sitting at a restaurant, and people kept listening into our conversations, and we, being entertainers, just happened to get louder. And so we were like, we have an audience wherever we go. Why don't we just bring it to radio? And we signed up with LA Talk Radio for a while, and then Hot Talk LA. And now we have Dig Into a Radio, which is our own little thing for podcasts. So
nice. And when you do podcasts, where do people find them? How is it streamed? Is it something where they just go to in access and hit play on an archive, or
they can do that? Everything's on demand at DIG letter N number I two number two IT radio.
Okay, say that one more time.
DIG letter N number two IT radio.com. That's Dig Into It Radio. And that's where everything's archived, but it's also on iTunes. And if you look up Dig Into It Radio, you can do it there, or Stitcher on your mobile device.
Great.
Anytime, anywhere.
And what was the kind of the premise of that show? Like, is it something like this where I have guests on interviewing? Is it more just the two of you kind of talking about current events, or
It's a little bit of all of that. I mean, we had a really great chance, especially being in LA, to pull in really good talent. Like,
sure.
I don't know if you watch Flipping Out on Bravo. Jenny Pelos, she's one of the characters on it, and she's hilarious, and she came on. Naoko Mori from Absolutely Fabulous. She was also in another BBC show about Yoko and John.
Nice.
And Torchwood.
And in Madison, those people aren't nearly as common.
No. I mean, very few of them come here just on a daily basis.
Yeah, so the premise of the show here, kind of what format does it take being produced
Pretty
here?
Much the same thing. We're becoming more and more politically, you know, aware and more socially aware.
Clearly you live in Madison.
Right. So we talk about that. We talk about pop culture. Nothing is off limits. And then, of course, we talk about what we did, what we've been doing, make jokes here and there. So
what are some of the current things that you've been following that are providing a lot of resource material?
The whole Facebook thing.
Oh, the real name thing.
Yeah, the real name thing. And that's kind of getting a little, I think they turned it over yesterday, overturned it yesterday after we recorded a show. Thanks a lot. We talk about, like, just the governor races, general politics and social awareness. There was an article about how kids are now doing things like bringing their parents to job interviews or having
what?
Yeah. Or the parents are being like, you gave my daughter a C to the professor. Why did you, you know? And I'm like, you're an adult. What are we raising? Like, we're raising imbeciles.
Oh my God.
That's horrifying. So we talked a little bit about that. We talk about like trans issues, LGBT things, women's.
Yeah, I was going to ask you kind of what that experience has been like in Madison. Would you say that you are almost at all times openly trans, or are there environments where
it gets tricky sometimes? Like,
sure,
I don't walk up to people and say, like, "Guess what?" You know, and dating, because I identify as a heterosexual woman.
Sure.
Which, that's tough, because then I go to bars and then I meet guys and then it's like, oh, wait, I have to explain something. Or, you know, I'm like, ugh,
yep.
Why can't I just have a vagina?
I'm sure you're not the only one that thinks that.
No.
Now, like within that world, though, have you found this to be more challenging than other places? Have you found it to be easier in some ways?
Easier.
Yeah?
It's surprisingly easier. I feel this is the first time I've been in a city and I've been able to be who I was without anybody knowing my background. And so it's kind of nice to just be comfortable and be able to be like,
sure.
So I meet guys. Guys are more attracted to me here. Maybe it's the extra 30 pounds.
I was saying, it's the beer and cheese.
Right.
It's so if people want to catch Alphabet Soup, though, where do they go? When? How do they connect with you? How do they connect with, you already said, D-I-G-N?
Yes. The Alphabet Soup comedy show is at Plan B every Thursday, at least till December. So I'm hoping that more people come so that we can keep it going. Every third Thursday, or you can go to facebook.com/alphabet soup comedy and like our page. And then that's where we update who's coming and what's happening. And me, myself, you can find me at dinamartinez.com, D-I-N-A.
Awesome. Martinez. So I am going to talk you into sticking around for the rest of the show today. And coming up next, we have Jerry Foley. He has a book coming out that he just wrote. And that's earlier when I made the comment about McFarland, that was kind of a little foreshadowing, because that's where he is based out of. So, and then later we have Gabe Javier from the LGBT Campus Center. So stick around, everyone.
This is Being Authentic with Patrick Faribault on the Mic 92.1 and the Mic92.1.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Being Authentic. My name is Patrick Faribault. I'm your host. I'm also the publisher of Our Lives magazine. That's Madison's LGBT magazine. You can find it online at ourlivesmadison.com. And one of the things that I really love about doing this show is oftentimes it connects me to people for the first time, people that I hadn't met before, didn't know were out there doing some cool things. And our next guest is one of those people. So, also in the studio with us still, continuing on for the full show, is Dina Martinez.
Hello. So,
hey, Dina. I'm really glad you're here this week.
I'm super excited to be here.
So, let's jump right in and welcome our next guest, Jerry Foley, who has a new book coming out mid-October, and he's here to tell us all about it. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so tell everybody listening, what is the book that you just are about to publish?
All right, its title is Slumber Size, and it falls in the urban fantasy category, which is supernatural or magic elements in the modern world. Harry Potter technically fits in that category, as does everything Neil Gaiman has written.
Hey.
And, exactly, and he's actually considered the father of the genre and one of my heroes. And as I read through the genre, I realize there are no gay lead characters in these books. And I figured after years and years and years of hoping to read about one, it was time to write it.
And like, how long does writing a book take? Like, how much research did it take? How long did the ideas sort of sit and stew?
The brilliant part about fiction is the research is fairly minimal. and most of it can be done with Google and Google Maps. And the idea itself came to me sort of built over a course of years and a couple of failed attempts at it. But once I had solidified it and outlined it, I wrote probably 80% of it in about 30 days. Just dedicated, coming home after work, writing, writing, writing.
Wow, that is significantly faster than I would have ever guessed. So,
where the time comes in is then editing and making it into a story that people actually want to read.
That helps.
Yeah.
So what's the story about? Who is this character and kind of what's the adventure, the quest that they're on?
His name is James. He's suddenly receiving dreams from a woman's perspective, which is something he's never experienced. He has mild narcolepsy, so he's often fallen asleep at inappropriate times. But the first major one happened while he was at work and added a whole new level of confusion to his life because some of the elements she showed him in the dream were actually true. And the more he looked into it, the more truth there was. The first several chapters are layered between her dreams and him exploring it until he realizes that this shadowy world exists in our own, and he's getting wrapped up into it pretty quickly.
I'm following this. How many characters are there? Like, who's the nemesis or the protagonist, I guess?
The protagonist pretty early on identifies himself as her boss, who runs the organization that ends up chasing James throughout most of the novel.
Okay. And where is it set? Is it set locally?
Partially locally. He starts out in Milwaukee. They're based on the East Coast, and there's a bit of travel between the two.
Oh, I was trying to say, so, I mean, you're local. You're in McFarland, so the wonderfully exotic location of McFarland.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and so I was wondering if there would be any tie-in to Wisconsin there. It's cool that there is. How did you kind of work through figuring out what it takes to publish a book?
I'm actually a production editor for Wisconsin's oldest press, the Wisconsin Historical Society's press.
That would help.
It helps immensely. So fortunately, I've been working several years now in book publishing and know the back end of it as well as story end of it.
Yeah. Is this your first attempt at doing a novel then?
My first novel, yes. I actually have a children's book on the market. It's just a short 40-page, like, level one reader, and the second children's book will also be coming out at the end of October.
Is it your first time trying to deal with any sort of gay character in a novel or in a book?
This one is, yeah.
Was there anything unique to that may have been different from other projects you've worked on?
Not necessarily different from other projects. The difference is in people's perceptions of a gay character in a novel. I've had to explain several times that it's not erotica. It's pulp trade fiction. It's something that could be sold, you know, front shelf at Barnes & Noble that you don't have to hide from your family because that's not the thrust of his story.
Yeah, that was one of the things that actually caught me when you reached out about the show, was where you had talked about something that did fit the genre, but something that also really was for a family, or at least accessible to families. Mm-hmm. That's something that, truthfully, I had to kind of jog my mind. I don't know of much that's out there either.
Right. And, you know, I've certainly read a fair share of really good erotica out there, but it's not something you put on the coffee table and share when your family comes over.
Or it depends on what you want, what message you want to send your family.
Also that. Yes, also that. Yeah.
So, I guess, what are some of the other characters beyond just the lead and the protagonist? What's a scenario? What are some of the chapters dealing with?
So, as I said, every other chapter is actually from this woman's perspective. She is an agent in a shadowy organization of people who can literally spy on each other's dreams. And she has been sent out to into the world to gain information, political information primarily. But she found something going on in her own organization, and she needs his help.
Now, I love that concept. Did you draw inspiration from anywhere? Like, what's some things that you've read that have helped influence how you write and kind of interpret the genre?
I actually am a huge fan of Jim Butcher's. He writes the Harry Dresden series, and he writes with a bit of snark from the first-person perspective. So my story is told entirely from James' perspective. And his natural reaction to being in trouble is to be a smart mouth.
I don't know if that was going to get him out of trouble, though.
It doesn't. It hasn't yet.
Now, but, go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so to finish your question, she's obviously one of the primary characters. She gets several chapters of her own that are entirely her story. The other one would be her boss, who sends his other agents after James, and one of the agents is an ex-relationship of the lead, the female agent. And so there's some of that relationship going on that he's not aware of until halfway through the book.
You know, a lot of times when I've kind of got into, so my preferred genre, I do a lot of Russian classical lit, so really okay. Not small books.
No, not at all.
But, you know, generally beyond the normal story arc taking you through it, there's a lot of character development where you see them kind of working through their own issues. Is there anything like that with the characters that you've written?
There is. The character who ends up helping him the most is a young, they're called Reapers. She had her flowers. Her bloodline powers are death-related as opposed to dream-related, and the minute she finds out James is gay, these walls go up, and he doesn't understand why, and she's got this baggage where she's promised to help him, so she will honor that promise, but she's suddenly very, very angry at him for not being straight.
Well, I didn't see that coming. There's a twist. Now, where did the name of the book come from?
I have a degree in linguistics, and I love playing with language and playing with words, and actually ran a web development company for many years that was a hybrid word also. And so I've often played with hybrid words and putting two words together to see if they make sense. The title of this book is actually a nickname that is given to the female agent after she does something in Africa.
Okay. I'm assuming it probably involves a sickle.
It does indeed.
Okay, so at the end of it, is this something that you've kind of written in a way to leave it open for sequels or continuations of the story?
Actually, I've outlined an entire 5 novels of this Bloodline War.
Well, so that's a yes.
Yeah. In the first one, though James is the hero and he has his moment at the end, he is not a fighter by any stretch of the imagination. He starts out the novel as a social media marketing manager.
Okay.
So obviously very little combat involved in that.
Yeah, no, I'm picturing lots of sort of superhero sort of arcs where it's the Clark Kent turns into Superman or the Bruce Wayne to Batman sort of.
He wants to get there, absolutely.
Now, by the end of the book, on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put him? Is he kind of at an 8 on that way to being Batman?
No. by the end of the book, he's maybe a 4.
Okay.
Not quite a James Gordon even, but he's at least accepted that he has to start working out, that he has to learn to fight, and that he is going to do this.
Great.
Those are his major revelations that will carry him into book 2.
Now, if people are interested in this and they want to know more, mm-hmm. when does it come out? Where does it come out? How do people connect? All of those kind of questions that you would expect.
All of those questions. All right. Okay. We are targeting a soft release date of October 17th, but we're actually announcing full release on Halloween, the 31st.
Well, that's appropriate.
Yes.
And who's the publisher, and is there a website?
The publisher is Rogue Ravens Publishing, a small publishing house that just started here in Madison. And if people are interested, they could go to my website, www.jerryfoley.com, and I'll be, as I'm allowed to release things, I'll be posting them there.
I think that's all great. I want to thank you again, though, for taking the time today, and I look forward to seeing the book and connecting with you more. I think this is a really interesting kind of project that you're working on.
Oh, Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Okay, folks, coming up next, we have Gabe Javier. He is the director of the LGBT Campus Center, and he'll be on to tell us all about the events that they have planned for National Coming Out Month. So stick around.
Being Authentic with Patrick Fairbaugh on the Mike 92.1 and the Mike 92.1.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Being Authentic. My name is Patrick Fairbaugh. I'm your host. I'm also the publisher of Our Lives Magazine. That's Madison's LGBT magazine. You can find it online at ourlivesmadison.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/ourlivesmagazine. So we've had and continue to have our co-host this week, Dina Martinez.
Hi.
Welcome back, Dina. We also had Jerry Foley on talking about a new book that he has coming out this month. And now I'm excited because on the phone with us is Gabe Javier. He is the director of the LGBT Campus Center over at UW-Madison. And Gabe, it's a big month for you guys.
It is a big month. Hello and happy fall. Yeah. You know, October, we focus a lot on celebrating the stories of the authentic stories, right, of the LGBTQ communities. You know, October is LGBTQ History Month. October 11th is National Coming Out Day. It also happens to be homecoming at the end of the month for UW-Madison. So we try to keep ourselves nice and busy as the fall colors set in.
Yeah, so National Coming Out, am I right? Is it National Coming Out Month or is it just National, you know what it is?
Well, you know, National Coming Out Day is housed in LGBTQ History Month. So
there we go.
I mean, granted, you can come out whenever you want, but October is... there's a particular day for it. So.
Yeah, if there ever was a time of year, October seems to bring everybody out. So
that's right. Mm-hmm.
With some of the events that you guys got going on, and one of the things that's really cool about the Campus Center this time of year is that there's a lot of really high-profile events that the Campus Center is hosting for the university and really the city.
Yeah, we're really excited to have another opportunity to show off the stories of the LGBT community to the wider Madison community. You know, this coming Monday and Tuesday, we're hosting Walter Nagel. Walter Nagel, I don't know if you're familiar with Bayard Rustin, who was a civil rights organizer, who was really the architect of the 1963 March on Washington with Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Many people don't know that, you know, Bayard Rustin was Martin Luther King's right-hand person on that. And he was a pacifist, a Quaker, a black man, and also an out gay man. And so his story is so compelling because, you know, there were many factions who really wanted him to keep quiet about his sexual orientation, despite his powerful organizing capacity and capability. So we'll be viewing the documentary about his life called Brother Outsider on Monday. And that's happening at LVM Hall, which is right next to the Chazen. So we'll be viewing the movie on Monday night. And then Tuesday, Walter Nagel, who is Bayard Rustin's partner for the last 10 years of his life, will be joining us for a keynote. And, you know, what's really cool, one of the many cool things about this, you know, is last year, Bayard Rustin was posthumously awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And Walter Nagel accepted it on his behalf. So he was one of the first LGBT partners to do that and to receive that honor. So he's also the founder of the Rustin Fund, which is based in New York, which continues Bayard Rustin's legacy. So that'll be happening on Tuesday night. So we're super excited about that. And we, you know, again, highlighting some really amazing stories. That's certainly one of them.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, especially in a city like Madison, I love that the Campus Center and other organizations like GSAFE are putting a real strong focus on racial justice work in communities of color. I love that the Campus Center is bringing him, because I don't know how much the wider gay community at the university, the student population, may even know who Bayard Rustin is.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, there are so many stories worth telling in our community, as you both know, so... we want to be able to show that there's, you know, the big message of this month is that people come out in so many different identities and they're successful, healthy, loving people, which is, you know, not often the message that people might get at home or in the media. You know, I know when I was coming out, there weren't a whole lot of, you know, gay, Filipino, Catholic people of size certainly not in magazines, certainly on TV. So it's really important to show people there's like success and love in the LGBT communities look like a lot of different things.
Yeah. I mean, that is a very specific niche too.
It is a very specific niche, yes.
You know, I was
the subscription list to that magazine would be very small.
I loved last fall when the Campus Center brought Janet Mock to town. I was completely overwhelmed by the response and the turnout for that event. That like I you know, she works in the industry I do in media, so I had even that appeal, but I didn't realize the appeal would kind of cross so many lines and bring in such a crowd.
Yeah, we were very lucky. That was a great opportunity for us to partner, as you said before, like with other places in the institution, with the Distinguished Lecture Series, with y'all at Our Lives, to really help bring her here. And, you know, we're still getting a lot of really great energy from that. Mm. You know, similarly, later this month, on the 23rd of October, we're hosting Phil Jimenez, and he is a graphic artist. He draws, he has drawn and continues to draw for both Marvel and DC Comics. So he draws The Amazing Spider-Man, he draws X-Men, he draws Wonder Woman. So, you know, he is another artist that I think will have some really great cross appeal. And he'll talk about his identity as a gay man and how comics has changed. You know, last year Archie Comics debuted a gay character for the first time, and he was one of the artists on that character. So he's going to do a drawing presentation, and so people will get to see his creative process. So that should be really cool.
That's fantastic. I know that there's a full calendar of stuff. What other things do you think, like the wider, I'm kind of curious from two sides, what stuff is really student-centric, like really targeted at students, and what other things do you think will have a wider appeal to the wider city?
You know, we're hoping that Walter Nagel and Phil Jimenez will draw sort of a wide appeal. You know, as far as things specifically for our campus community, on the 10th, Friday the 10th, we have our LGBT Campus Center is hosting the National Coming Out Day open house. So people can come by the Campus Center anytime after 11:30, and we have a big purple door that people can come out of. You know, we ask that you walk out of it and not, like, take it down, because it's, you know, it's really affordable.
That door has kind of become an institution at this point.
It has. It's seen a lot. That door has seen a lot. So so people, you know, can come by and get a cupcake and, you know, come out of the door and then sign the door. So that's certainly something that we hope a lot of our community at EW Madison will come and see. We also are hosting a couple trainings. We're doing a special grad student event at Plan B, called 3x5 Grad Student Showcase. And basically, grad students are coming, and you know, all the work that they're doing and research and papers and readings, and we're asking them to encapsulate it in 3 minutes and 5 slides.
Oh. Hey, Gabe, let's get you to move around a little bit. We're getting some bad reception from your phone.
Okay, is that better?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
There, much, much better.
Yeah, so a grad student event called 3x5, and that'll be a lot of fun too. So
yeah, and if people want to connect with the Campus Center, like, how do they do that? Where do they do that? What are ways that they can find out more about what's going on there?
Absolutely. So we're located in the Red Gym, which is the big red castle next to the Union. So anyone can come by and say hello. We're in room 123. Otherwise, find us online at lgbt.wisc.edu. We're on the Facebook and the Twitter, so catch us on there as well.
Awesome. It's always a pleasure to have you on, and I'm really excited about all the work you're doing and the things you got going on this month. I'm looking forward to making it out to a few of them myself.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for your work. On happy October.
Yeah, happy October, happy LGBT History Month. I got it right.
Well done. Great. Yeah. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, everybody. I really appreciate everybody tuning in this week. I want to thank Dina again for sticking around for the whole show.
Thank you.
And coming up next week is hopefully more of this. No, we got some people booked next week that I'm kind of looking forward to. Next week is G-Safe's Run, Walk, and Eat event. So we'll have them on talking about that. And I think Emily Mills, the editor of Our Lives Magazine, is going to be on to give people a little bit of a preview of what's going to be coming up in our next issue. So thanks, everybody. And we will talk to you next week.